stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity, from the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Tuesday, October 15th, 2022. For some reason, we're not broadcasting here. Let's try this again. Okay, hold on. Okay, we're on the air. Don't ask me what happened there, folks. Okay, here we are. Don't ask me what happened there. You hit run and nothing happens. But that's okay. That's the way we roll around here. We're going to do the intro again. And just for a disclaimer, hold on. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars live. Yes, we are live. Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. The program from last night did not load. You heard it on the audio end, not the video end. So I don't know. So you're gonna get tomorrow, the October 14th program. I wanted to point out something here, and I'm doing a couple of promos today, doing some editing, things of that nature, right? Vindication felt very good. So for the people who were listening last night, we have played a clip of former President Bill Clinton talking about the population and population crisis. And on immigration, whether it's illegal or legal, guess what? He was talking about it, saying stuff that we have been talking about for a long time here on Safety Wars. So, I have a little bit of vindication. You don't get it too often here. And as you know, I try to stick to the mainstream news. All of our news stories here are from mainstream news. Very little of it is from alternative views, unless I am personally familiar with this situation. I don't normally give you anything from out there. So we use EPA reports, OSHA reports, and things of that nature. And you know that I'm using that because I'm usually screen sharing those because they're open source, right? So I want to point that out. Now, it's vindication. And yes, we are not being interrupted here with the other stuff. So what's going on today? So we're getting bombarded with election stuff constantly. Over here we are in, and I don't know if the rest of the country is like this. So for the New York market, we get all of northern New Jersey. We get New York. We get Metro New York, including sometimes Connecticut here. And now with the apps on the TV, right? Whether it's going to be Hulu, YouTube, something else. Those are the two big ones. And all of the alternative stuff. You may get stuff that's hyper-local and never see anything else. But for us, it's been constant. This race, this one, this person's good, this one's bad, this one's evil, this one's not evil, this one's wonderful, this one's not wonderful. And I want to point out something for you. One of the politicians here is running for Congress, and he is talking about the East Ramapo School District. He graduated the East Ramapo School District. I'm not going to comment on it other than say this. You go over to Google or your favorite search engine and Google East Ramapo New York School District. And my one question for that candidate is, you graduated that school district. That school district has massive issues now. What's your opinion on it? It's my question. And with the other candidate, that's my question to you. What are you going to do about that school system? You say, well, Jim, that's a local issue, not a federal issue. Things have gotten so bad over there with some of the things. I think that it probably should be a federal issue because the state ain't doing nothing there with that. All right, so that's number one. Number two is this. Both the other candidate shying away from the issues. Why aren't you going out there and addressing the issues? Stop with the rhetoric. You should have been, right? If you would have been educating the voters on the issues, this goes for both political parties, not only one who's in office now, all along, maybe we wouldn't have to have all this rhetoric out there and all this hyperbole and rhetoric. My opinion, right? With that. And the reason why they do it, why do they do it? Because it works. Because we as the American public allow this to happen. We don't do cancel culture on politicians. Maybe we should. With that. Seriously. That would be some. So here's my question here. Let me take a break real quick here because I got to set this next segment up here. So we're going to go to our first commercial break early here.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit SafetyWars.com now.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Polzel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
OSHA Recordables. catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Poelzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Okay, so here we go. Here with, and this is off of Wikipedia here, some of the information here. So you can go and look at this. This is members of Congress by wealth ranked. And they resource, this is 2018-2019 from opensecrets.org. Though, again, not government source, a little bit maybe out of here, but let's, and it's Wikipedia, anybody could write anything. Okay, so here we have, let's try this. All right, so here we're going off of with MSN, right? MSN.com. That's pretty mainstream news. Here we have members of Congress. Here we have a Democratic member of Congress who's getting paid $174,000 a year from Congress, but she is worth $252.6 million. All right. Here we have, on the other end, opposite party, a senator, $234.42 million. Here we have another one here, $546.95 million. All right, going down, another one here, opposite party, $246.22 million. All right. And it goes on and on and on. So we have all these millionaires in Congress here. All right. And when they get out of Congress, they're worth even more. So my question is this. Right now, according to some statistics, we're paying $11,300 more 4 year for household expenses. Not my family, but all, you know, averaged out. And some people more, some people less. My question is this. No, they're talking about inflation, and inflation is wonder. No, inflation's under control. Blah 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 blah. Inflation's out of control. Blah blah blah. That's not what the problem is. Is inflation? It is a part of the problem. Part of the problem is, okay, inflation is lower now, but we're still paying all this money. Prices have not come down on most goods. So, for example, gasoline came down. I paid, I think, $2.89 a gallon today when I got gas. All right, so, and this is in northern New Jersey. But, so my question is this. And a lot of these people come into office, they don't have anything, and then they all of a sudden leave multimillionaires. My question is this. If they were really concerned about your, meaning you and me, our well-being, our money, our financial well-being, our success, my question is this, why aren't they going out there and telling us how they were able to generate all this wealth? I know they got public disclosure forms, they have this. I want to know what their secret is for this. I've known some uber wealthy people over the years. They told me what their secrets were. We're trying to reproduce them here. All right, here, and what are, my question is, what are they doing to tell you how to be successful? One of our missions here on Safety Wars, and I'm wearing the JCP Technical number 16 jersey tonight. One of our things is, and Safety FM for that matter, we're all pretty successful people, or we're working on being successful, or learning, and it's a learning curve. I tell you what, I learn new things every day about everything, you know, about the most obscure things and everything. Okay, we're here vested in your success as a safety professional. And if you're not a safety professional, as some other professional, as a worker, as a supervisor, as whatever. Member of the public who had no idea about this thing called OSHA that governs all of their jobs, and at least half of the people in this country are working here, so it impacts them. And if they're not working, they know people are working. These laws and everything impact them. We're raising awareness here. So my question, that's what we're here for, is to spread the news of human organizational performance, the message, all these news reports, how to work safely, and we're trying to help you. When was the last time the politician you're going to be voting for, some of you have already started voting, right, a couple of weeks ago, the politician that you're voting for, what are they doing to guarantee your success, to help you with your success? Because this is what happens. They want to go and set up a system for your success. I'm not interested in a system. So for example, Gulf oil spill, 2010. We talked about it here. All this money got paid out by PP. Where did it go? It went to set up programs and more bureaucracies to go and help people. Okay, great. They're helping people, right? Okay, I got it. But the idea is we're going to always set up a system to help people when they get their tax money. What are they doing to help you to be successful? Because we have certain politicians out there, and it was very controversial in the mid-2010s, where you had a former politician's spouse and a former politician say, oh, you racked, basically this is how it got interpreted by me. You graduate college, you have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And now that politician's spouse is saying, you should go over and work for a nonprofit. Believe me, I have family members that work for nonprofits. It's not all their crap. The pay and everything else is not all it's cracked up to be for a lot of these folks. I know a lot of people who work for nonprofits. It ain't nice. So why would you go after you get spent 4 years or more on average in undergrad school, why would you go into that type of situation where you're not going to be earning any money? I don't know. You have certain people, and I'm getting a visit from my daughter and my cat. You want to say hello? Hello. Hi. Yes. But anyway, they... Right, she's getting less camera shy, which is good. But essentially, why would you want to go after generating, and now we're going to go into a less profitable thing? Why would you do that? Why would you even suggest to people that they do that? I remember way back in the way back machine, in history, 1992, spring semester, we're going through a tour of a facility as college seniors. And the person there says, you people should all work here. And you should be worried, and you should be doing... And we're hearing this, and we had one of our professors in college who read us the Riot Act, because he says, you people, right? Don't know what it is to earn a living. You don't know. And you got to be focused on earning a living and supporting yourself. So when we went on this tour of this facility, and there was a person there who said, come join our happiness here, like the old Jamaica commercials. She ends up going, and one of the people in the class says, what is she, nuts? I just blew $75,000 on an education year. I've been coming here for 5 years. And now I'm going to be encouraged to get a job that doesn't pay anything? Really? So let's circle around this again. What is your politician you're voting for? Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, doesn't matter who the hell it is. What are they doing to that? What are they proposing that's going to guarantee your success? And if the answer is nothing, you got to question who you're going to vote for. Real simple. Are they selling a philosophy of how are you going to improve yourself? If you're poor, if you're rich, are they saying, hey, you're rich, you have money, share that knowledge with your community. How you get out of poverty. How you're going to be successful. Be invested in your community with success. Believe me, everyone knows here, I'm not encouraging communism here. That's not what I'm encouraging. Leadership. And if you're up here on October 25th, we're giving a presentation on leadership to the local ASSP for the Lower Hudson Valley. Me, right? Come join us right up the corner here in New City, in Pomona, New York. But what's my point here? We're all in this. We're one big team. We're the Safety Wars team. We're the Safety FM team. We are invested in your safety. We are invested in your success, whatever that measure is. And that's what we're going to do, is fight that safety war to its completion, but we realize that's never going to be complete. And that is my opening monologue here for 19 minutes here with this. So we're going to go right on over to our OSHA news releases, and we'll do that. We'll put on a little bit of nothing. Music is not coming through. Hold on. Okay, we're back. All right, we had that little musical interlude there. We're going to have more. We were working on it today. And this is a story off of the Department of Labor website. Federal judge orders a company reinstating a $453,000 payment for a pair of employees illegally terminated after raising safety concerns. So if you are fired or disciplined after raising safety concerns, you may have a whistleblower complaint out there. So a federal administrative law judge has ruled that a company that you all have heard of, if you're on the video, you're seeing the name here, a subsidiary of one of the nation's largest transportation companies, must pay a total of $453,510 to two railroad workers who were wrongfully terminated for exercising their federally protected rights to report workplace safety concerns. The company must also reinstate the workers. The decision by U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Administrative Law Judges follows a whistleblower investigation by the department's OSHA. Remember, OSHA investigates pretty much all whistleblower complaints, regardless of the law. I don't know why that is. They're probably the only one set up to do that. November 2017, after the reporters, the workers reported a blue flag on the tracks at a Waycross Georgia rail yard signaling that they could not move their trains safely. In response, the company removed them from the assignment and later fired them. OSHA determined the company's response violated federal protections for workers raising safety issues. Again, whistleblowing here. So, and there's a quote from OSHA Regional Administrator Kurt Pietermeyer that the workers did what they were supposed to. The sum cited in the judge's order includes $248,000 in back wages plus compounded daily interest of $100,000 plus, right, compounded daily interest, $100,000 for emotional distress, and $100,000 for punitive damages for the two workers. They must also pay the workers $4,600 plus for health insurance premiums paid after their termination. I tell you what, I don't know what the hell kind of health insurance they have, but that's pretty freaking cheap here for health insurance. CSX Transportation must also reinstate the workers of previous positions and seniority had they not suffered the wrongful termination. So basically, they're going 7 years seniority. Not the first time this company did this with this. And again, my question is this. Is this an industry-wide culture or only for this company? Because if we recall, there were some of the same issues in the East Palestine, Ohio situation that we talked extensively about with the late, great Ian Punnett of Coast to Coast AM. So, I don't know. We're going to find that, you know, we'll see how this goes. Because I tell you what, they're going to continue to do this. It's just the way it is here. Okay. And let's head on over to OSHA from the Department of Labor. And we already talked about that. Okay. And we'll do this. So the U.S. Department of Labor urges Florida emergency response workers and public to recognize and avoid hazards created by hurricanes Milton and Helene. Again, in storm's aftermath, and we're going to talk about this again, those involved in response recovery must do the following. Evaluate the work areas for hazards, assess the stability, ensure fall protection when working from elevated surfaces, assume all power lines are live, whether they're live or dead, assume that they're live, operate chainsaws, proper portable generators, ladders, and other equipment properly, and use PPE, such as gloves, right, probably leather gloves on that, or better yet, cut-resistant gloves, or better yet, hire us, and we'll help you train you making the right decisions. Hard hats, hearing, and foot and eye protection. Again, that's right from OSHA from October 10th. And here we have, this is from the 9th of October. Hold on. Federal Workplace Safety Investigation finds a company in Janesville, Wisconsin, continuing to expose workers to dangerous levels of lead and cadmium. Follow-up inspection by Federal Workplace Safety Investigators in April 2024 found a Janesville recycling company continuing to expose workers. Basically, lead and cadmium. They're requiring an industrial hygiene audit here. And biological monitoring every 6 months. And do we have an actual thing here? Nope, we do not. So EPA today here. So here we have one from the EPA. Hold on right here. Related to that. So recently, meaning like this week, October, or last week, October 8th, the lead and copper rule improvement was issued by the US EPA. What is the rule summary? On October 8th, the Biden-Harris administration issued a final rule requiring drinking water systems across the country to identify and replace lead pipes within 10 years. I assume that they mean drinking water. Because there are a lot of, where I grew up in Woodridge, the contractors in that neighborhood put in lead effluent pipes and sewage pipes. The lead and copper rule improvements, LCRI, also require more rigorous testing of drinking water and a lower threshold requiring communities to take action to protect people from lead exposure. In addition, the final rule improves communication within communities so that families are better informed about the risk of lead in drinking water, location of lead pipes, and plans for replacing them. This final rule is part of the president's commitment to replace every lead pipe in the country within a decade. Good thing. Again, this is a system that is good here. All right. So here is the general information. Here, all right. And for the first time, the vast majority of water systems will be required to replace lead service lines within 10 years. Lead service line replacement within 10 years is achievable. We'll see what happens. The final rule supports ongoing efforts to locate existing lead pipes, and the final rule strengthens tap sampling requirements, meaning tap meaning the faucet, right? And some technical information here. For sites with lead service lines, water systems are required to collect and analyze the first liter and fifth liter and use the higher of the two values when determining compliance with the rule. What the idea here is this, and when you're sampling lead, normally you want to do a first thing in the morning. Because what happens is the water sits in the pipes all night, and if it's slightly acidic, especially if it's slightly acidic, lead might come get leaches out of the lead pipes into the water. So when you sample that first water, that's when you're going to get the highest amount of lead in there. So they want the first liter sampled and the fifth liter sampled on there. So what the idea is the first and then fifth liter. What they don't want people to do is this, all right? And they're trying to have a graph there usually, first and fifth, my understanding of this. Now, what they don't want, and this is often what companies do, people do. Remember, who's watching you? Nobody's watching you, right? Nobody's watching what you're doing if you're sampling. So you are on the ultimate honor system for that, right? Basically, nobody's watching you. Now you have to, nobody's watching me. You're looking back, and I was looking for a prop that I had here, but apparently it's not here. So what happens is people end up purging the pipes. They'll run those pipes for 2-3 hours sometimes. I've seen the bigger systems to purge the pipes to make sure there is no lead in there. And then they'll sample and they'll say, oh, look at this. There's no lead in your drinking water. Don't believe me? Why do you think I don't do that work anymore? It's because I cannot compete with people. Pardon me. I cannot compete with people who are dishonest. Right? Can you imagine you're the owner of an apartment complex and you say, hey, I dialed 1-800 unethical water sample person on the internet. I looked them up. And that person, and you go, and that person comes there and says, oh, yeah, I can make sure that any of these samples are going to come up clean. I'm going to make sure all of this stuff comes up clean. And what do you do? Well, no, don't worry about it. So what they do is they take the sample, they purge the water. They let it run, and then all of a sudden they take a sample, and it's clean. Don't think that people in the government don't do that? Really? What didn't I see here in their updated rule? I didn't see removing sovereign immunity from people who mismanage lead, like we've had over the last 10 years, where we have politicians making decisions to, like, in Michigan, to increase lead, and that, in effect, increases lead in the pipes, which causes, you could Google it here. When are we going to do that? What about these, who's watching these people doing the sampling to make sure it's done correctly? That's my question. I've heard of stories. And let's go with a little bit deeper into this. Industrial hygiene monitoring. How many companies go out there and they call, we're going to collect 10 samples. So we're going to have another 10 sample media here. So we're going to have 20, we're going to be set up to collect 20 samples. So the first set of filters or charcoal tubes or whatever tubes you're using, we're going to have those on the field, on the person to go in there, and we're going to, and now we're going to go with the second set. We're going to have them in, you know, and then what we're going to do is we're going to take those tubes and that sample media that we collected on the employees. We're going to throw them out, and we're going to use the ones that are fresh, and we're going to send those to the laboratory for now. And voila, you don't have a problem. There's no issue. No issue at all. Headache. Who cares? You got a headache, a little headache. I have a wife that I don't get along with either. She gives me plenty of headaches. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the field. Because why? Why do we have safety wards? Why do we have Safety FM? To point this stuff out to you, the worker. Not to tell you how to circumvent OSHA regulations, but if you're a worker and whatever, this is the kind of stuff that goes on in the back alley here, in the back office here at a lot of companies. If I didn't see it for myself, I wouldn't be talking about this because we were doing this long enough. So my question to the EPA and all these EPA, nice EPA people is, how are you going to guarantee that these samples are collected properly? The Heartland Institute back in the day, I'm not familiar with them now, used to document all these situations like I just outlined to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And know what happened to the government employees who were lying? Not a damn thing. They promoted them to a better out of that position. Where I'm dealing right now, I'm getting texts here and everything else. I'm dealing with stuff right now at one of my projects where we're dealing with people who don't know what the hell they're doing on the government end. It's not OSHA. I'm not bad-mouthing OSHA. All right? But, I mean, they don't know. And it's like, you're looking out for safety and you don't know what the hell's going on? Really? And believe me, that goes on and on and on in 32 years. Final rule includes additional requirements to reduce exposure to lead in drinking water and communicating transparently and frequently. So we're going to be, with that, right? So federal funding, and again, that bipartisan infrastructure law, that always ends up creeping into all this stuff here. The EPA, and along with these other things, water infrastructure, finance, innovation, WIFIA, and the WIN, Water for Infrastructure Improvement, National Act, and all these other programs, the EPA is announcing $2.6 billion in newly available drinking water infrastructure. Now, here's my question for you. The curators of these facilities also, are they going to be outed here for not managing their facility correctly? For supplying lead in drinking water to their constituents? EPA estimates that on average, each year all these programs are going to protect up to 900,000 infants from having low birth weight, which puts them at higher risk of longer and more expensive hospital stays after birth. Prevent ADHD in 2,600 children, reduce 1,500 cases of premature death from heart disease, by adults, prevent up to 200,000 IQ point loss in children. Didn't we have an issue come up on study finds last week? I don't think I shared it on the air, on fluoridated water and its impact to IQ points. And now the politicians are now paying attention. It went from the conspiracy theory to something else. All right. Now, here's the question here. The water, the supply districts that are supplying the dirty water for... lead's been known about lead poisoning for a lot of time. You want to pick up a book? Poison in the Pot by Wadeen is the guy's name. All right, I got it upstairs. Great book. Talks about this. That was written in the late 70s, I want to say 1978, 79, in there. Goes into the whole history of this. This has all been going on for a long, long time with lead. All right? With this. Now, I had a friend who worked in the public health service. And he told me the story how they came up with this lead action level. The inside story. He worked for the public health service before there was an EPA. He's an old timer. Basically, what happened was somebody made a phone call to one of his colleagues, and that's what the level should have been. And he just threw out a level, and that's automatically, they threw some legalese behind it. The procedure, that's what the level was. They didn't know what they were doing. He was one of the people, Bill Parker, who was, he passed away a long time ago. If he's still alive, he's in his hundreds, well into his hundreds. All right. He was part of the Public Health Service, and they were developing the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. That was his job, was in development, and he was one of the field guys sampling for those. And he had impingers out there and everything. He was explaining it to me. It was all very fascinating. This is about 20 years ago. More than that, 30 years ago. So guy must be well over 100. But anyway, interesting gentleman there. With this. And again, what are they doing to the people, the politicians that knew that this was here, right, going on, and they did nothing? This sounds like the old, what I stopped, shared here, about Cliffwood Beach in New Jersey, and Morgan, New Jersey, part of Sayreville, where they went with lead-contaminated slag and build jetties and put it on the beach and everything else after the company that they got it from said, don't do that. Now, again, everybody got away scot-free. Everything's great. No problem. Here. Isn't sovereign immunity wonderful? Okay. Here we have the rumors here. The EPA, FEMA.gov, issued a rumor thing where they said, don't believe rumors. And let's get that up for you right here. So with this, why are we using this platform? We're using this platform because I cannot get the other one to stop echoing. Thought I had it figured out. So when I get it figured out, we're going to do it again. Hold on here. Okay. Where is this? Let's go to commercial break because I have one other thing here.
Hey, employers, want to avoid hefty OSHA fines? Listen up. OSHA or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration can issue penalties after inspecting your workplace. If they find violations, you'll get notified by certified mail or in person. You have 15 working days to contest it or the penalty becomes final. How are penalties determined? It depends on your business size, the severity of the violation, your history, and your good faith efforts. Even if you fix the issue right away, you might still get fined. Let's talk numbers. A willful violation can cost between $11,524 and $161,323. Repeated violations hit up to $161,323. Serious violations can reach $16,131. And other than serious violations can also cost up to $16,131. If you fail to correct a violation, it's $16,131 per day. Lastly, missing a posting requirement? That's another $16,131. Stay informed, stay compliant, and keep your workplace safe to avoid these costly penalties.
All right, so here we are back. Man, that guy sounded, you know, I don't know what kind of music that was on there. I got to change that one. So here we have the hurricane rumor response. And again, a lot of rumors going out there with these things. Again, remember, people are cut off from their cell phones. People, most of the time, people get, you know, they use this thing for finding out information now. And they're cut off from there. They're cut off from TV. What do they still have, though? They have AM radio, which people are, which the government, there's a bill in Congress right now to save AM radio. And guess what? Wouldn't that be useful, those AM radios nowadays, to get accurate information? So this is from the FEMA.gov website. Hurricane rumor response. Rumors and misleading information can spread quickly after any disaster. Following hurricanes Helene and Milton, we have seen many rumors that have the potential to seriously hamper storm response efforts or prevent people from getting assistance quickly. Help keep yourself, your family, and your community safe by being aware of rumors and scams and sharing official information from trusted sources. Do your part to stop the spread of rumors. 1. Find trusted sources. 2. Share information from trusted sources. And 3. Discourage others from sharing information from unverified sources. So rumor number 1. FEMA pulled out of hurricane-affected areas in North Carolina due to threats. This is false. While taking steps to ensure the safety of our staff and the people who are trying to help, we continue to support the communities affected. Again, desperate people often do desperate things, and we don't want our emergency workers getting threatened or getting hurt or killed. Again, what they did was, there was a threat in North Carolina. We made the decision to shift from sending FEMA disaster survivors assistance teams into neighborhoods to knock on doors to station teams at neighborhood locations where they could still meet and work with the disaster survivors. So, a little bit of inside baseball here. I am a member of, I'm a member of the lowest level of official emergency response that you can have, which is community emergency response teams. What is part of that training? That part of that training is to go out and do interviews in your community. What the idea is to have members of every community spread out this way. They people know you, it's not that far of a walk, blah, 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 and you're going to do a community assessment. This is all part of what the process is. So we are able to better ascertain what the damages are. So, for example, during Superstorm Sandy, we lost out on a lot of aid here in Rockland County, because what happens is we did not have community assessments. So they said, well, let's go out and have community emergency response teams go out there and do assessments. So what ended up happening was, you're able to commingle funds. Let's say I don't meet the threshold here in Rockland County. However, to the south, we have Bergen County. To the east and north, we have Orange County. Guess what? Now we could commingle applications with Bergen, Rockland, and Orange County. And let's say us, we're not in there. Then we could go over to the next county. And we're able to build this up regionally. You can't do that without a community assessment. And I'm sure that things are still pretty much the same. Maybe the thresholds have changed. Maybe certain policies have changed. But that's when I went through the training, that's what they talked about. So these community assessments, you're thinking, well, they're not helping anybody. Yeah, they are. Because you're going to be eligible for certain resources from the government depending on that stuff. And by the way, you don't want your taxes to go sky high because people local community has to foot the bill for some stuff. You don't want that. So that's what the idea is behind that. Rumor, FEMA is preventing residents and companies from removing debris. This is false. FEMA is not blocking or preventing any aspect of debris removal, which is handled by local governments. So Think of it this way. I'm reading into this a little bit. I'm drawing a little bit of an inference. This is not out of our experience here. During COVID, local governments came up with a policy. They said, well, we were told this by the state or federal government to deflect blame from them. Maybe they're making decisions on their own. And right? FEMA does not directly handle debris removal, hire contractors, remove debris, or anything else with that. That's all local. FEMA controls managers, transfer stations, dump sites, and contracts. We need to install debris. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. It's local control. Rumor, FEMA will automatically provide $1,200 if you have been without power for 24 hours. That's misleading. Right? You may be eligible for all different types of stuff. I shared our experience here from a couple years ago. Rumor, FEMA will only provide $750 to disaster stuff. Well, this was all part of FEMA reform a couple years ago. This is false, by the way. This is all part of the reform. So this is the type of assistance you may be approved of soon after you apply, called the Serious Needs Assistance. And this is not a loan. This is for essentials. Food, water, baby formula, breastfeeding supplies, medication, and other emergency supplies. Again, $750 is not going to go far. And there's some controversy with that, with the aid that some other communities are getting, and on some other issues here unrelated to this. I don't know. I'm just telling you that's something. I tell you what, when we got a FEMA grant here, and it helped us out immensely here with things. All right. Rumor, FEMA is blockading people in Florida and preventing evacuations. FEMA does not control, that's false. FEMA does not control traffic flow. Now, you're going to, now with that, again, that's all local stuff. Maybe they're deflecting things to FEMA. Yeah, we're doing this. FEMA provides loans to disaster survivors. Only provides that. Well, okay, I can be a wise guy here. If you didn't survive this disaster, you're not going to need a loan. Your family might, but you're not going to need one. Again, if you're getting a grant, it doesn't have to be paid back. If you're getting a loan, that's handled by the Small Business Administration with certain requirements, if you meet their thresholds, and everything else. Rumor, applying multiple times for disaster assistance will speed up the process of being approved. No, it's one time per household with that. And with the documentation that you have to supply, I can guarantee you that there's enough in there. I'll guarantee, I can't guarantee, but I can pretty much guarantee you, right, that there's enough procedures in place to prevent fraud. And rumor, the FAA is restricting access to airspace for rescue and recovery. FAA is not restricting access for recovery. FAA is coordinating closely with state and local officials and everything else. Now, I have a little bit of information on this. I had a listener contact me, and we talked about this. So there are, and believe me, it was an impeccable source I have from this. So you're in, and I know Elon Musk and Starlink, there was something there, and they had to negotiate. Right. This is all called logistics. You have to get the aid to where it's needed the most in these things. Public health, as we found out during the COVID, is not a pretty process, not a pretty subject. You have to make certain decisions that may not be popular, may not be nice, may not be anything. So you have to make decisions. So logistically, what's going on? Right. So, for example, people were dropping off supplies where they already got supplies in private vehicles, private helicopters, areas that were completely cut off that were already served, and they were neglecting other areas that needed the supplies. So this is a logistics type of situation. So FEMA, there are a lot of areas where you can land a helicopter or small plane or whatever in the wilderness areas of Carolina. Right. And, oh, there's an airfield. Let's go there. And before you know it, it's like a private airfield. Or it's an inappropriate, and they're like, we're all loaded up with crap here. Well, we can't take off with all this stuff on this road. Now we got to leave it. And now you have, this is what happened, the kind of stories you hear, like in Puerto Rico a couple years ago, where all this water was out there, bottled water laying out there in the hot Puerto Rican sun. Well, what the hell? Well, didn't make it to where it was supposed to go. Didn't make it where it needed to go. Again, they're trying to coordinate things where and resources where it needs to go. It's a logistics type thing. And I know a lot of people in logistics. It's not a fun thing. And plus you have a J.O., right, out in Tennessee that's slashing tires of response people. And you got crimes. And you got the, again, they're dropping things off. Well, what's the security? What if we had like a gang, the Escape from New York movie there going on with all different security? I don't know. All this stuff is there. It doesn't help putting in the rumor mill. What we're here is understanding, patience, factual information, experience with this stuff. And that's what we're about here with Safety Wars. And I want to thank everybody for going out there and listening and bearing with me and all the craziness that I do out here. We will see. We have a family event tomorrow night. So I will most likely not be on the air. If I am on the air, it's going to be a pre-recorded program for the podcast, not live here on Safety FM. We have to see how things work out. So we're going to mosey on over to our patriotic music. And we're going to be adding to our music selection here in the next couple of days. You're going to love it. You're going to love it here. I promise. Here. And yes, Jay Allen, it's all royalty free here. So for Safety Wars for October 15th, 2024, and my last day at 53 years old, that's a family event. The last event at 53 years old, the last day, the last broadcast at 53, this is Jim Poelzel. We'll see you later in the week. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.